Footy Mania is here.
Footy Mania.
And so is Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
I told you, Jay. The people have spoken.
Join former St Kilda champion Joey Montagna, footy journo Jay-Z Clark, and horse racing royalty Emma Friedland.
Oh, I love a Rossi. A little impression on a Saturday morning.
I knew it. I knew it.
It's everything you need to kickstart your week.
It's a banger.
It's a banger.
We are live.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to another edition of Dead Set Legends with you every Saturday this morning from 11 o'clock. The rub on at 1 p.m. this afternoon. Footy time switching all over the place. We'll get to that shortly. Joey, Jay, Rosie and Emma, good morning, team. Great to have you on board. Of course, been a bit of an unusual week in Melbourne. But you know what? I reckon spirits are pretty high in this room today. Well done to everyone.
Yeah, good morning. I think we are feeling pretty good. There's been plenty of footy on. That's for sure. Lucky we've had the footy on every night, Jay, because there hasn't been much else to do. The highlight of my week is going to get a takeaway coffee and going for a little walk. That's about the extent of it at the moment. So it is difficult. We're all doing it tough. We're all hanging in there. And the footy's been pretty good. And there's plenty of footy news today, Jay-Z.
So I think we're going to disagree on something You got to strip it back in these times of isolation and focus on the small things. You know, be grateful for stuff. And we got a new board game in the Clark household on Friday. It's the bingo series. So it's like the cat bingo, the ocean bingo, the dog bingo. Have you got the bingo series?
No.
Like there's a big board game with all different animals on it, and then you pull the tile out of the hat. Oh, it's the Labrador. But you put the thing. Anyway, we took it up a level this week. We got the Australian Deadly Animals game.
Right.
So my kids are like all the scary snakes and the spiders, the Sydney funnel web, redback, all that sort of stuff. But they're sort of taking the mickey because they've also got like the emu in there. Oh. So the kids are like, why is the emu?
Deadly animal? How's that killing
you? If it starts chasing you.
Exactly. Yeah. Very fast, speed, sharp beak. And then there's the koala.
Jeez, there's a case for every animal. The drop bear, hey? Is that the case there?
And I'm like, you got to be careful of their claws.
They look cuddly, but they can hurt.
But this is where it got me. The platypus gets to run.
What?
And so my kids are like, Dad, how's the platypus deadly?
Yeah.
And I'm like, nah. They're taking the mickey.
It's got a poison thing in its tail, doesn't it? Didn't you go to the zoo in grade 3? I'm sure it's got something dodgy about it.
30 years ago. All right.
Longer for me.
Something about platypuses every day on this show. So that's how crazy it's going
to happen. I'm going to have to Google that. Just stand by.
Poison in the tail of a
something
platypus.
Something like that.
Really?
No, they're not.
I genuinely don't think that. But maybe we've all just omitted the knowledge from our memories because we think they're just so cute and cuddly. Yeah.
Can a platypus kill you?
That's interesting.
You owe me a six pack if this is right.
All right, we'll have a platypus bet.
Yeah, there's beer bets flying everywhere on this show. So just to recap, because we will do the beer bet later in the show. Where are you at, boys? I want a standing. How many six packs are owed to who?
Oh, well, Jay-Z.
Cleaned him out.
Let me stop laughing. He took the Adelaide Crows last week. He must have felt sorry for me. Yeah. And he tipped the Adelaide Crows to beat Melbourne. Jay-Z. Yeah.
It's an early North Melbourne. It's an early gimme.
They won't win a game all year, will they? They're not going to win a game.
I don't think they will, Joey.
It's going to be very difficult for them to win a game. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, who are they going to beat? Oh, it's difficult.
Oh, an update on the platypus. What's there? Sorry.
Oh, here we
Thank you to Wikipedia. Platypus venom. The platypus is one of the few living mammals to produce venom. The venom is made in venom glands that are connected to the hollow spurs in their hind legs. Venom is primarily made during mating season. While the venom's effects are described as excruciatingly painful, it is not lethal to humans. Dangerous, but not critical.
So it's to ward off mates that they don't really want. If they get an attractor and they're not keen on mating with them, shoot out a bit of poison.
Oh, boy.
Hey, guys, you learn something new every day on this program, and we've got plenty coming up on our show today. Our special guest this morning, the Saints' Brad Hill, as they continue their terrific run of form of late. There's a ton of news to get through with Jay-Z and the possibility of crowds at the Melbourne Cup. How likely really is it? I know the VRC very bullish on this, making sure that members can get their money worth going to the first Tuesday in November. And at three-quarter time last night, the Giants trailed the Bombers, but made up some big ground in the final term. Though, with 2 minutes to go, this controversial incident involving Callan Ward defined the game.
The Bombers' defence, Mummy sliding in. Oh, Cal Ward. He went hard at it. And then he did the full 360 pirouette. And he made the most of that, Juddy, for mine.
Well, I mean, McKernan is as much over the ball as Cal Ward, really. And he's put some mayo on that, Cal.
Yeah, a bit of GST from Callan Ward there. But then Essendon coach John Worsfold having plenty to say about that moment in his post-match press conference, and understandably so.
What was the free kick for? I'm not sure. So, it's hard to comment. Because I do say it every week, but I won't say it. I'm not going to say it. No comment on the free kick.
Clearly, you're not wanting to get the fine there.
That's about the most animated I've heard, John Worsfold.
Clearly unhappy with it. Look, I think we all jumped off the couch when we saw this because Cal Ward did put a whole litre of mayonnaise in his spiroing pirouette move, and his name, nicknamed Cement Head because he is one of the toughest players in the competition. This wasn't a particularly tough act, but I think why he should not be suspended or fined, is because technically there was contact, Joey and M. So when he burrowed in for the ball, Cal Ward, Sean McKernan's right there. Ward's got his nose over the footy, hands on the ball. The contact is drawn. He gets the free kick. The free kick should be paid. And technically, because of those reasons, guys, I think he won't be fined or shouldn't be fined like Tom Papley was. And I know the spinning pirouette was not
come
a great
on.
Look.
Come
but
on.
Technically,
you can't go. Well, technically, he should be okay. Technically, there was contact in Tom Papley's incident too. Technically, Maynard put contact into his back, and he put all the mayonnaise in the world on it, and he's being fined. So, what's the difference? If technically there was contact to Papley, why would Callum Ward not get fined for his gross exaggeration that con the umpires?
I think it's a good debate, but I think because that sort of thing would happen a fair bit when you do go in for the footy and you get the glancing blows to the head. Like I reckon
you do then a 360.
No, we didn't like the 360, but because technically some contact was there, that's what saves Callum Ward here. So, but are you saying
If he does not get fined, I'll fall off my chair. Emma, do you agree with me on that?
Well, if Tom Batley's getting $500 for the other night, for me, it's the same. It's the same.
Absolutely.
It's absolutely a dive. It's absolutely staging. It's making something worse than it should have been. And to do that 360 pirouette move, how much more energy does it bloody take?
Yeah.
No,
I'll fall off my chair if he doesn't get fined. If the AFL want consistency on these sorts of things to try and milk free kicks, as Alistair Clarkson called it, this is exactly what Callum Ward tried to do. He tried to milk a free kick, whether technically it was there or not. He made sure that the umpire paid it. He's got to get $500 fine for that, and I'll be absolutely staggered. And there'll be an outcry, particularly from Essendon's fans, if he doesn't get fined for that incident. Even if it was technically the free kick was there, we don't want to see players just throw themselves and exaggerate to make sure the umpire pays the free kick.
Here's the question then. If you're saying that this must be stamped out of the game, then is $500 enough? Because I would have thought if
No, it's got nothing to do with the fine. Because you know what? If I'm Callum Ward, I'll hand over my $500 fine because I've just won the game for our team and we're in the top eight.
Yeah.
So it's got nothing to do with what you do retrospectively. What I would be wanting is I want the umpires to not pay a free kick in the situation. So I'm
correct.
Not paying it. I'm not paying. Even if technically there was contact, if you're going to carry on like that, I'm just not paying the free kick. And guess what will happen? The only reason the players, and as you said, Callum Ward is one of the toughest players that's played the game. The reason why he did that is because they are also smart footballers. Joel Selwood's got a history of it. They're smart, and they know that if they can get a free kick for their team, they will do it. They'll push the boundaries. They've done it. I mean, every player that's ever played has milked for a free kick to try and get an advantage for his team. Mm. So the only way you can stamp it out is for the umpires on the spot to say, get up, I'm not paying it. Even if it was technically there, they just say, in that instance, if you exaggerate it, I'm not paying it. It'll stop players doing it. You can't retrospectively fine them because Tom Papley got a shot at goal. Callum Ward won the goal for his team. And if that's the case, players will keep doing it. If it comes down to those moments late in games where they go, hey, this is more important than a little bit of money out of my pocket, they'll keep doing it.
But you've got to protect the head and you've got to protect the ball carrier. Callum Ward in that situation is going in for the footy. So he deserves...
So was McKernan.
So I think if you've got your head over the ball and you draw contact to your head or you take contact to your head, I think that's a free kick every day of the week.
That's not to say that there wasn't a free kick. We're talking about fining Callum Ward for gross exaggeration and staging. We're not saying that...
But didn't you just say then that the umpire shouldn't pay the free kicks? That's how you stamp it
potentially
out?
Potentially, if all these other instances, if you wanted to do that, if players are going to flop and exaggerate like Callum Ward did, you just asked about the deterrent of a $500 fine.
I'm saying
that's not going to deter a player next time in that situation if it's to win the game.
The fine be bigger then as a deterrent. Is that what we should say?
Should a player be suspended for?
No, just don't pay the free kick.
And that's
so would it be different? Yeah, it would it be different with Callum Ward's then because it was contact to the head, even though minor, and they were both going for the ball, compared to Tom Papley's with Maynard, which is in the back.
Well, then the situation where if you have to pay the free kick because the free kick is still there and credibility of the game, the umpire's got to pay the free kick, but the player then does really exaggerate it, well, then in that situation, you definitely fine him afterwards because you had to pay the free kick. So so that's why I'm saying Callum Ward has to get fined if you say technically the free kick was there. In other incidences where it's a 50-50 call for the umpire and the player stages or gross exaggerates, I'm more than happy, and I think every fan watching would be happy for the umpire to say, play on, get up, I'm not paying that because you exaggerated. Like what they're doing now with players trying to shrug and players trying to duck. The instruction is if they're trying to draw the free kick, just don't pay it. So it's the same situation. If, like you're saying, they have to pay the free kick because it's an obvious one, but the player still exaggerates, then you fine them afterwards. So I'll be staggered if Callum Ward doesn't get fined.
How do you think Callum Ward feels about it? Because he said after the game, he said, I think I played it pretty well.
He'd be sheepish. He'd be sheepish.
He looked sheepish afterwards. When he got the ball to take the free kick, he had a weird look on his face.
He'd be sheepish.
He'd be a bit embarrassed. But also at the same time, he's helped his team win the game. So do you cop that? You're in the eight. You're trying to win a flag. Callum Ward's trying to win a flag. Doesn't have many years left. You know what? Take your $500 fine. But the umpires have got to be better. And the AFL have got to be better at stamping this out.
The MRO with that result later in the afternoon, I'm sure. Time for our Thursday and Friday night footy review of round 10. Collingwood coming from behind to beat the Swans after kicking 6-14 on Thursday night. Then the Saints got the job done over the Gold Coast in a tight one at Metricon. And then last night, the Giants crawled back to a score, a narrow victory over the Bombers. And that's where we will kick off our footy chat right now. Where are we sitting at the moment with the Essendon Football Club, boys?
Do you know what? This is MI, and this looks good in hindsight, but I sat there last night, and when Essendon were 29 points up, I thought two things to myself. If ever there's a team that can come back from 30 points down, it's the GWS Giants, because we know they've got an ability to flick a switch. And if there's a team that can blow a 29-point lead, you still didn't have faith in Essendon. That's exactly what I thought, and that's exactly what happened as the game unfolded. I'd be so frustrated if I was an Essendon supporter. I know you are, Em.
Mate, last night at three-quarter time, literally, I'm getting a bit tired because I'm pregnant. Yeah. I wanted to go to bed. I said, we'll lose this. I may as well go to bed. We're going to lose this, even though we're 30 points up.
You wouldn't have been alone as an Essendon supporter thinking that. Funny. They just didn't have that, I think Matthew Lloyd said it during the week, that killer instinct, that edge, that some sort of resolve and some sort of leadership or culture to just put away a game that they really should have put away. And they just allowed the Giants to get back into it. The Giants got their confidence up. And as we know, they just got too much talent. And in the end, they got the job done. But still big question marks on the Giants. There's a lot about them that, you know, you're not convinced on, a little bit like Collingwood. But Essendon, that's another one they've blown, and they should be really disappointed.
Yeah, I saw a tweet from an Essendon supporter at three-quarter time. It said, don't you dare do this to me, Bummer.
I know.
We're all sort of feeling...
It's just the same every week.
But I tell you where they blew their chance for me. It was Anthony McDonald Tipungwuti, who for mine is the best set shot kick in the competition. If there was any player who I'd put my life on to kick a goal from 30 metres out, he is a beautiful set shot kick tipper. But he passed it to Sean McKernan on a tighter angle, who's a less reliable set shot, Joey.
And yep.
So what's going through Tipper's head? Is that a thing like he doesn't want the pressure? He doesn't want the moment? Is he just being overly sort of generous and selfless? Like, as a coach, if you're Ben Rutten, aren't you saying to Tipper, mate, you are the best at this in the competition? Take the responsibility yourself.
He's got to believe it, though. He's got to believe that he's the best kick in the competition. He's got to believe that he could make that kick. It's hard to put yourself into someone else's mind, and whether it was purely to be unselfish, whether there was that element of doubt, it's probably a combination of both. Yep. I think there is a habit now of players wanting to bring teammates into the game, but at the right time, do you think a Toby Green, do you think a Robbie Gray is probably one that is too unselfish, but some of these big guns at the competition that, you know.
Stevie Johnson.
Steve, do you think they're going to say, no, you know what, this is on my shoulders, I'll take the responsibility and do it for our team because it's the right thing to do, you know, and there is always an element of being unselfish, but I think Tipper probably, because of the form he's been in over the last sort of month or so, probably lacking a little bit of confidence in himself, thought, you know what, there's a player on, I can get away with being seen as unselfish, I'm doing the right thing. But he's put the responsibility on the shoulders of a player who's, you're right, a bit more unreliable in front of goal, and it potentially could have cost him the game.
Joey, I tell you what, though, there's a theme here with those Essendon forwards. There was two moments last night with Kyle Langford in about the second quarter. Same thing. He's got set shots, and he's looking around. He's looking around going, what do you reckon? Like, looking for almost feedback from his teammates.
Yeah.
That's a concern. As an Essendon supporter, I've got a handful of forwards who are, you know, trying to put together a score and not convincingly, and they're looking around each other going, what's the go here? What am I going
to
do?
Yeah, it is. And I mean, it might be part of their game plan to try and find a, what you call a secondary short pass, someone in a better position who can have a better shot on goal. That might be something they're conscious of, but at the right times, you need to take the responsibility and have the shot. And yeah, they just let one slip, the Bombers, and they'll be mightily disappointed because my gut feel now is, as I said last week, the top eight looks set to me. I can't see Essendon and Western Bulldogs, who are just outside the eight, with the games that they've still got coming up against top eight teams. And we know Collingwood and the Giants, who are just hanging in, are still good enough, even though they're both playing pretty average footy, to be honest, they're still good enough to play finals. So I think Essendon might miss out by a game or two, and they're going to look back at these games and rue the missed opportunities.
We're a glass half full show. We like to try and find the silver lining on even the darkest sporting clouds at times. It's fair to say. And I want to give a big rap to Sammy Draper.
Your boy, Jay. You were all over him last year. You said the Saints were after him and he was going to get sort of 400 grand. And I remember questioning, going, what for a bloke that we've never seen? Now you can see why. He's a big, young, aggressive ruckman.
And he really took it up to Mummy. He wasn't intimidated. He kicked the goal and celebrated. We like that too. But Adam Saad, Joey, tell me how good is Adam Saad, because I thought he was outstanding last night. 758 metres gained, still out of contract. So he wants a decent payday. Not getting it from the Bombers at the moment as they juggle a bit of a salary cap. I see Lachie Whitfield probably is the top running defender in the competition. Yep. Zach Williams isn't bad either. How highly do you rate Adam Saad? Is he a player who doesn't get the credit he deserves? He's a running machine.
He's probably all Australian halfback, I would say, at the moment. Probably, I think, Caleb Daniels being one of the best, but he's not necessarily a running player. Yeah. He's a bit more of a change of angles. So Adam Saad's one of the best absolutely running, line-breaking halfbacks in the competition. He deserves a big payday, and I'd be very careful if I was Essendon, because a lot of clubs would absolutely love to have a player like Adam Saad in their team.
Well, he's not going anywhere, hopefully. Up next, we're going to take a look at the biggest sports stories from around the world, including news about the ICC World Cup, which will find a new home, but not in Oz. Catch up on that next right here on Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Joey, Jay-Z and Emma.
Clarko's got the no long sleeves rule.
Each to their own. You love Clarko, don't you? Here we go again.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. The Dead Set Legends Saturday Scoreboard.
Yeah, we just spoke about the big games last night, particularly the Bombers losing a 4 points game to the GWS Giants, one they should have won, and they might be kicking themselves if they miss out on finals. A couple of games today to kick off round 11, which starts. Port Adelaide-Richmond will be an absolute beauty. You can hear that one here on Triple M with the call team from Adelaide.
Who's kipping?
It's so tough.
It is a tough one. Oh, I really like Port Adelaide. I like the way they're playing. I've still got some little question marks on Richmond, just some slight question marks. I don't think they're right at the top of the tree just yet, and I think Port Adelaide have shown that they are the real deal, so I'll stick with Port Adelaide. And Brisbane Western Bulldogs, again, I was the one that probably didn't think Brisbane were as bad as what people made out last week to the loss to Richmond. If they had a kick straight, they would have been well and truly in that game. Their other stats were pretty good, so Brisbane should bounce back and defeat the Western Bulldogs. Our Melbourne Storm take on Canterbury this afternoon, and some of the other results. The Roosters defeated the Dragons, the Rabbitohs defeated the Broncos, and the Warriors, good to see them have a win over the Seagulls. And of course, the Warriors have announced a new coach for next season. It's Triple M's own Nathan Brown, who used to coach the Newcastle Knights, so he'll take over next year.
You know what I spat out my Wheaties about, Emma, and you probably know more about this than me, but did Wayne Bennett, who is seen as like the absolute doyen and the greatest person who's ever coached a game of NRL, he broke in the quarantine rules by going out to a local restaurant. Did I read
And that? He was on the committee that created the rules.
Yeah. See, that's an early gimme a spell for mine.
That is
a huge gimme a spell. So, yeah, Wayne Bennett, who's pretty high and mighty in the game, went to a restaurant in Leichhardt and was spotted and then dobbed into the NRL for breaking the COVID rules, because we have reverted back to the more stringent, strict rules. Due to all the risks at the moment. Got fined $20,000. He's in quarantine or isolation now for 14 days to make sure that he doesn't test positive for the virus. But came out and said, what? Am I not allowed to eat at a restaurant?
Yeah,
mate, you're not. That's the rules at the moment. You're not allowed to do that. So he's been fined $20,000. And then there was two other incidents during the week, including Paul Vaughan from the Dragons. He got, I think, a $10,000 fine as well. So a few people getting a bit confused as to where the rules and regulations sit at the moment, because we've gone back to the more serious format of them.
So we get our knickers in a twist about Bucks playing a tennis game with Alicia Molik 50 metres away or 30 metres away down the other end of the court. And old mate Wayno goes, that's a restaurant. Interesting. Sorry, Joe.
No, that's all right. The PGA Championship, there's some golf back on our TV, which is great to see. The PGA Championship, after round two, Hao Tong Li, the Chinese superstar, is leading that. Our boy Jason Day is tied for third at 6 under, only two shots chance off the lead. So he's going really nicely. I saw something credited his first round to his deep heat, using a bit of deep heat on the back that's given him a lot of grief. He was going well. And a couple of Englishmen, Tommy Fleetwood and Justin Rose, are also tied for third. So some good golf going on there. And, of course, the other big news earlier was that the ICC has announced that India will now host the T20 World Cup next year, not Australia. We will host it in 2022 instead. We were meant to host it, obviously, in October, but we couldn't guarantee with the nations coming out here and the federal government to help it. So they've postponed it, and India will host it. And the World Cup for women has also been postponed to 2022, and that will be hosted in New Zealand.
So, Joey, the ICC are looking after India there for mine. Why don't we get it next year? Why do we have to wait till 2022? Why don't we just all shuffle back one?
Money, money, money.
Looking after India.
Money, money, money.
Not for the first time.
And, of course, the NBA too. That's underway.
Oh, yeah.
Good to see the NBA back on the TV. It's a little bit different without
weird,
the crowd.
Isn't it?
It has been a bit weird. Yeah, but we're halfway through the preliminary games until the playoffs start. So a live score at the moment. The New Orleans Pelicans and the Wizards are tied at 76 each, and they're all trying to fight for spot in the top eight. And Boston and Toronto, two big teams in the East, are currently going at it as well. So plenty of games there. And in about 2 weeks, we'll be almost ready for the playoffs, which will be great. And I'm pretty keen. Are you one that, are you a LeBron hater? Or like, would you love to see the Lakers win it?
No, I'd love
for
to
LeBron,
see them
win. Or are you a bit like, you're a bit over LeBron?
Yeah, no, I'm not a Laker. You're either a Lakers man or you're not. Or I guess LeBron's the same thing. But I'd be cheering. I'd rather the Bucks win
would
it.
You? Yeah.
Giannis.
I think I'm one that I love seeing the greatest of all time in my era. Like, I think any time you're seeing one of the greats of any sport, I want to see them really be the all-time greats. So I'd love to see LeBron win it so that he can win his third championship at three different clubs and put himself back in that conversation with Michael Jordan.
And wouldn't it be emotional after the passing of Kobe
this year,
which touched every sporting fan around the world? If they were to salute this year, in the year that he passed, like, that would be very, very emotional, I would think.
Could be the fairy tale story of the NBA coming up. One of the big stories making waves today, boys, is Gropegate. Can we call it that?
I don't know.
Yeah, Gropegate. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't seen the vision, basically Richmond singing the team song, and there's a couple of incidents where hands maybe shouldn't have been put. Where are we going here? I mean, it's not good, and we know that the AFL are not happy about it, but it's a weird story to be kind of talking about.
Yeah, and Richmond's made a strong statement, haven't they? So they put out the press release last night, where Nick Vlosten and Jaden Short have both apologised to Marby Orchall, and the Vlosten says, it was a stupid action. I'm deeply embarrassed. I've apologised to Marby. It was unacceptable behaviour and a poor example, Jaden Short said. So while Marby Orchall didn't take any advance to the fact that these teammates were sort of grabbing at his private parts.
His bits,
I think we're 1,000 to 1 to see any of this sort of activity happen again this season. I think their hands can stay where everyone can see them, Emma. I think that's what's got to happen here. I know we get very euphoric and excited when we win games and we get in the team.
But you don't need to grab someone else's.
Let's just keep the hands up. Let's keep the hands up.
I just
up.
Don't get it.
Yeah, it's unusual. But
sorry, I shouldn't be laughing. I know it's a serious matter, but it's kind of. I'm shaking my head, going, "What is going on in the world?"
Tightness teams have got to be a connection.
That's right. Our footy clubs are a bit, you know, they're unique in that regard. But I mean, I think Richmond said it well. It's irresponsible and, you know, immature and childish. But I mean, it's been going on for as long as, you know, time has gone on, but at times are changing, and you know these things are now getting called out, and they're unacceptable. And I think the players realise that, and they'd be embarrassed, like Nick Vlosten said. And you know, we'll be better off for it if the players stop doing that. But it's been going on for a long time.
Back in the day, you guys would just be nude up in the changing.
I mean, as footy clubs are a bit, you know, they're a bit different. It's a bit like, you know, but yeah, we are changing and we're evolving and in becoming, you know, more politically correct, and then these things have got to stop.
Keep your hands up, Emma. I think it's
Sorry, my hands are up. News just through, Richmond CEO Brendan Gale will be on the rub this afternoon.
Yep.
No pun intended there with him being on the rub.
He'll be AFL CEO one day.
He will be.
He's got a lot of respect, and he's got a lot of respect throughout the competition. He's one who could take over the whole shebang one day.
Have you got to pick one for us, Jay-Z, or are we holding off?
Yes, no, let's do it. Tonight's game, absolutely massive. Charlie Dixon. up against Tom Lynch from Richmond. Two of the key inform spearheads. Joey, if you could only pick one.
Charlie Dixon or Tom Lynch? Charlie Dixon.
Really?
No,
what separates?
Oh, Charlie Dixon's having a much better year. Yep. I don't think Tom Lynch is having that good of a year. And I know last year he had a period of football where he hit a purple patch for 6 or 7 weeks, but his first half of the season wasn't that good either. I'm a little bit of the camp that Tom Lynch gets, I think, more dues than he's probably been credited with. He's been an All-Australian once in his career. He's now 27, 28 years old. He's not young, a young key forward anymore. He's a very handy player, and at his best when he can take big marks, and we saw that purple patch. But I think at the moment, Charlie Dixon's the informed big man of the competition, probably along with Tom Hawkins. So they're the two that I would take. Lynch did a pretty good job kicking a couple on Harris Andrews last week, but certainly Charlie Dixon's been the best big man this season.
Charlie and I were watching the footy last night and saw those great promos on Fox Footy with Charlie and Tom Lynch up against each other. And we did say, what would you rate as a grading Richmond's pickup now of Tom Lynch? Charlie thinks hot, you know, AA+. Was I a bit more? I don't know.
No, I'm not convinced. I mean, they won premierships without Tom Lynch, and they could still win if Tom Lynch wasn't playing. He's been a great pick. I mean, it's a great get to get one of the better key forwards in the competition.
They got him for free. He's a free agent, yeah. so he comes pretty cheaply, and he's only on about 550. That goes up. So I think it's been a good get. Clearly, what about Boots? That's been the big
Boot
talking
gate.
Point.
The
Sam,
other one.
Oh yeah, Bootgate.
Just sliced open Isaac Painter's leg. The photo was gruesome. Dane Rampey also appeared to be wearing the same boots. Did you ever wear metal stops, Joey?
No, I never did. No, I had the molded plastic sort of screws. Has it been found that those screws were illegal, technically?
Yes.
They're not allowed, are they?
Yes, they are not allowed. So the Humble Boot Stutter has been missed here because the Humble Boot Stutter is no longer
That's what I was wondering because of the whole, the staff being whether there was now the players responsible for their own boots rather than a boot stutter.
They can't be trusted with their own boots.
Young kid's first game probably didn't know the rules, to be fair. Didn't probably even put any thought into it.
Dane Rampey would. I mean, a lot of players around the competition have these boots, but the manufacturer says, Nike says, you got to take the metal stops out and replace them with the hard plastic ones for AFL games. Did any of your teammates used to wear the metal stops?
Very few, I think. More of the defenders that got a bit worried about slipping over, but it wasn't common. The grounds are so hard these days. The metal stops, I don't actually think do any good in a game of football. I don't think they're necessary at all.
They hurt your feet.
They hurt your feet, absolutely they do. Yep.
Oh, gotta have a whinge, mate.
Hey, they're the tools of trade. They are your tools of trade. There's too many players, Em, just quickly, the young players that wear boots that look good, and because they get freebies, rather than wear boots that actually suit their feet, don't worry about that. I remember at St Kilda, there were some players that would complain about how their boots were hurting, but they wouldn't change them because they looked fancy and they were the Nikes ones. And they wanted the brand. So don't worry. That is a little bit of it's a bugbear of mine. So you've got to make sure you get boots that are comfortable and feel good and you can perform at your best in.
How does that not surprise me that looks overcome functionality in some things? Anyways.
The modern way.
Hey, we've got a big second hour coming up on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Stay with us right here on 105.1 Triple M.
Joey, Jay-Z and Emma.
Broccoli prices have come down.
I'm cauliflower, man, more than broccoli.
Are you?
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends, thanks for joining us. A big second hour coming up, including our chat with Brad Hill from the St Kilda Football Club as they continue to fly this season. You think they're top of the pops? Who's not sure on St Kilda? Who said that? Was it you, Jay-Z? You're just not sure yet? You're not sold?
Yeah, I'm not certain they're a finals team. I've been very impressed, but I'm not willing to go all chips in on a finals berth just yet. I want to see more. It'll be an interesting game against Geelong. I mean, they are moving the ball with some speed and some fluency. And James Gallagher, the list manager there, along with Gubby Allen, who's a veteran. What do we call Gubby Allen? A veteran?
I don't know. What is he?
Just a list guru or something? Recruiting.
Just gets deals done.
Just somehow
finds the deal man, like, right? Okay.
Yeah. Gatto, just gets stuff done. Just gets deals done.
Magician.
What a comparison.
I think they were called. You said that top eight was set. Let's say that is. Who do you think would be most disappointed with missing the top eight this year, Joey? So Bulldogs, Essendon, Gold Coast, Melbourne, Carlton, Hawthorn, North, Freo, Sydney, Adelaide all miss. Who do you think would be most filthy or dirty on themselves?
Gee, I think there's four clubs. The Western Bulldogs would be very disappointed if they don't make finals, particularly after going out and getting Josh Bruce and Alex Keith. Essendon will be disappointed if they don't play finals. They thought that they were around the mark. I think Hawthorn would be disappointed.
Yep.
They were having a crack at playing finals, and I think with their list, they should have been doing better than they are. And who was the other
one?
Melbourne, absolutely. Melbourne would be really disappointed if they miss out on finals with where they've come from. So there will be a few teams But it was always going to be the case this year. There were going to be some clubs miss out. And I think that maybe, you know, Western Bulldogs, huge. They have to beat Brisbane Lions, I think, this week.
Yep.
To give themselves a chance, and Melbourne, it's going to be difficult. Well, can, when you start about St Kilda, can I give you a quick little pick one?
Yeah.
Oh, I had this chat with a friend the other night when we were watching the footy. Dan Butler or Tom Papley? Because let me think, there's been a lot of hype about Tom Papley. Like some people saying he's worth two first round picks and he's more than pick nine and all this sort of stuff. There have been. There's been some commentary. And so Dan Butler was pick 56. Mm. And you can easily make a case that Dan Butler's year has been every bit as good as Tom Papley's, if not better. He's for the All-Australian small forward spot.
He leads the competition in forward 50 tackles.
Yep.
Plus he's executing on goal. He adds speed.
They've both kicked 21 goals.
It's a good point you make, Joey.
Tom Papley plays like a forward, gets the ball kicked to him. Dan Butler gets his own crumbs and works hard. Mm-hmm. And the difference with them, Dan Butler's laid 42 tackles. Tom Papley's laid 14.
Wow, so that's a big difference, isn't it?
And one of them's made a significant difference to their team. So I can easily make a case Dan Butler is the small forward in the All-Australian team, not necessarily Tom Papley, even though he's been getting all the plaudits for a number of weeks.
I think Papley's ability to play above his height and mark, I think I would go with Tom Just, but I think it's a very good point you make. Okay. Very good point.
I love a contentious pick one on this show.
He certainly is the recruit. Maybe Jack Martin's just ahead of him. I think he's the best value recruit of the year, as you said, 56. For what he's delivering, leading the competition forward 50 tackles. That is what a recruit he is.
I found this fascinating yesterday, boys and girls. Mm-hmm. We heard from the CEO of the Victoria Racing Club about the Melbourne Cup and the big carnival coming up in November. Of course, racing has been permitted to continue based on the facts of animal welfare during these unprecedented times, which is fair enough. But they are planning to have some amount of crowds at Flemington come the first week in November, which is extraordinary. They've got plans in place to have either no crowds at all or up to 50,000 people, which at the moment you would have to think is ambitious, right?
Yeah, it's an aspirational target, isn't it? So I don't mind, you know, a bit like the MCC with the MCG, you know, they're glass half full. So they're hoping to have crowds. They're hoping to have these big events here. But you're also planning the contingency that it won't happen. And if so, I mean, could you see any likelihood that the Melbourne Cup running of the race would be moved north up to Sydney? So at least then you could get a crowd, or do you think it would be better to run it here, Emma, without a crowd, if you know what I mean?
I think run it in Melbourne without a crowd, keep the tradition alive, keep the statistics that relate to the Melbourne Cup and the same course and the same kind of things that revolve around that particular race the same.
Even if there's no one there to watch it.
Well, even if there's no one there to watch it.
The industry doesn't revolve around the crowd, does it? I mean, the industry revolves around turnover and betting and spending. So it's not, you know, that's not absolutely necessary there's a crowd. It would be great if there was and they'll have some plans. But yeah, it's not a sport, is it, Em, that you actually have to rely on crowds.
Okay. Well, what can I ask you then? What about, just to transgress a little bit, what about the Boxing Day test? So if that's the same case, would you be happy for that to be moved, Joey and Emma? Or do you think
that
should be? Yeah, or should that be played at an empty MCG?
I, without having a lot of thought into it, I'm flexible to the Boxing Day test going to another state for this year.
With people there.
I know it's against tradition and those things, but to have if there's states that can have crowds, it's the Boxing Day test, look, for 1 year, I think we could, what do you think? I think we could change it and have it in a different state.
I think so.
Rather than have an empty MCG or, you know.
I think if there are crowds.
Or a Sheffield Shield like crowd at the, Sheffield Shield crowd at the MCG.
I think the occasion, and there would be a money transfer here. I don't think you'd just sort of give that away for free.
Oh, no, not at all.
Yeah. But I think if you could get 20,000, say, at Sydney, if Melbourne's COVID cases are still too high, I'd be okay with that. Do you agree, Emma? Or?
Well, I think at the moment, like back to racing, it's just a different logistical challenge. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're not just moving 24 horses to go up to Sydney to run in a Melbourne Cup. You've got all the other 9 supporting races on that card, mm-hmm. plus Derby Day, plus Oaks Day, plus Stakes Day.
Yep.
So you're looking at in excess of 300 thoroughbreds going up to Sydney. I just don't think probably Sydney Racing can handle that because they've got their own meetings at Randwick and Rose Hill during that week as well. So I just don't think that's a viable option. And we've seen, especially in the first phase of lockdown, when the Autumn Carnival was happening in Sydney and in Melbourne, those numbers of people watching racing on TV, whether it be Channel 7 or racing.com or Sky, were through the roof because people still were craving live sport, mm-hmm. whether it be, you know, footy or racing. I think it's the kind of sport that can survive at the moment with having a being broadcast being the main way that people get their eyes on it.
So it would be a win for us in Melbourne, Jay-Z, if we could just go to a pub to watch the races and watch the cricket. imagine going to the pub just to watch the races and have a beer. How good would that be? Or the cricket on Boxing Day. Just be able to have a pub meal with a few mates and watch the cricket, even if it is in a different state.
I'll get emotional, Joey.
Just to be able to go to a pub. That's all I think we're after at the moment.
Oh, not too much ask.
Dear. Did you buy all your 50 packs of beers that you were going to do at your locals? You know how you could buy your 20 beers in advance? Rosie, I think you did that with
the pint. Oh, have the pint they're still in there.
So did you use them all up, or have you got, still got some holes to punch on that there. Card?
I got a couple left. Okay.
Ready to go?
Oh, jeez.
Everyone's getting very thirsty in here.
We are.
Thursday night, the Saints recorded a tight win over the Suns, and as it is with this season, they will strap on the boots again Monday night for their Round 11 clash against the Cats. And one of the Saints' big 2020 recruits, Brad Hill, has been really found his spot in the side over the last couple of weeks, and he joins us now. Welcome to the show, Bradley. It's been great to see you guys really find your form as you sit second on the ladder. That must be a great feeling.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. we're going along pretty well at the moment. So, hopefully we can finish off strongly in the back end of the season. We've got a few tough games coming up. We're going all right at the moment.
Hey, Brad, Jay Clark here. Congratulations on your season as a whole unit. I mean, I think yourself and Zach Jones add real pace and energy and a real different edge to this St Kilda midfield. So you've completely changed the whole how dynamic you guys are in that. But take us back a few months ago. So when you were making the decision to leave Fremantle to come to St Kilda, as I look at the ladder now and see you second on 28 points, is you sit there and think, yeah, I reckon they're a top two team there, these boys.
I did when I looked at the side. I did see there's so many, younger blokes coming through with a lot of talent. Your boys like Hunter Clark, Jay Gresham, Ron Marshall, those blokes coming through. And I knew there was obviously got to be some other blokes that would get traded with me as well. And I was hoping we could have played finals. I probably didn't expect to be sitting probably where we are now. But we're going along well, and we got a lot of improvement to do as well.
How have you found Brett Ratton, Brad, from your own perspective? What's his strengths as a coach, and what's his been his advice to you? Because it did take you a little while early in the season to sort of find your feet. What's he been like and your relationship with him?
Yeah, no, he's been good. I had him at Hawthorn for a while too as a coach, so he was a midfield coach there when I was there. So, obviously known him for a while, had a good relationship with him, but, probably his strengths as a coach is the relationship he builds with all the players and the connection he has with all of us. Is definitely one of the positive things he brings to this side, and probably personally for myself about knowing that I'll come to a new club and things aren't just going to happen straight away. He says, don't worry about it, just keep playing your role, and things will turn your way eventually. And I feel like I'm starting to play some better footy, and I'm still got a long way to go, but I'm building that connection with all my teammates and starting to gel a bit more.
Yeah, it's a great attitude, Brad. Patience is a virtue. How is Hub Life up in Queensland at the moment? And what are your thoughts on that continuing over the next 3 to 4 weeks? There is a chat at the moment that the rest of the season could be played out in a similar fashion.
Yeah, no, we're up in Noosa, so we actually just jumped in the water. So it's been
how delightful.
The water's like a spa compared to Victoria. We're enjoying up here, and we're playing some good footy, so we're not complaining at all. And, we're probably going to be here for the rest of the season. So we just got to have that right mindset and attitude and just enjoy it while we're here and keep playing some good footy.
Is it true you won't be complaining at all, Brad? Because did I hear earlier in the year, you are actually allergic to the cold. So you've come to Victoria. We're in the middle of a cold snap here, by the way, mate. Yes. It's freezing in Melbourne. So you must be just actually loving it up there going, how good's this?
Yeah, legit. I didn't have an ice bath for about 4 years, so I don't go that well with the cold. My skin just reacts to it, and I get all red and puffy in the mouth and nose.
That's legit.
That's
legit.
So weird.
Hang on a second.
Is this legit?
That is odd.
Let's just be clear here, but hang on a second, because I thought you were taking the pee.
No, he's legitimately allergic to the cold.
Is that right, Brad?
I had one game before when I was at Freo in pre-season. I sort of fainted because...
You were too cold.
And I nearly missed the game.
laugh, Brad. Sorry.
That is the revelation of the year. I'm going to say I'm allergic to the cold too, and I'm a particularly chilly from now on. That is sensational. Hey, Brad, we've heard the AFL got a bit grumpy that there'd been a few strange requests from some players. I don't want to say anyone, but Richmond. And they're sort of talking about a few players getting walls knocked out of their hotel room or extra beds or deluxe beds or something like that. Does anyone in your team need to be dobbed in for asking or anything that's a bit over the top, Brad? Because they won't be listening. We're broadcasting down here in Melbourne. You're up there in Noosa.
Who's the prima donna?
Yes.
No, I don't know if we've had anyone request anything like that. Maybe Jake Gresham, he likes a bit of extra stuff. I'm sure him and Rowan Marshall have asked for a lot of things from the resort. So, yeah, they're probably the two that come to mind.
Hey, big game against the Cats, mate. You've obviously had a look at them. They're a pretty informed side. What part of the game for St Kilda are you most pleased about that's going really well at the moment? And what's an area that you still need to work on to really match it with these best sides?
Yeah, no, probably the way we've been playing has been pretty exciting. You know, that fast ball movement, what you're seeing, you know, our forwards, when we get a forward, we've got a lot of pace up there, you know, the likes of Dan Butler and blokes like that. So, you know, that's probably our strength, just, you know, the way we play the game and how fast we can move it. So we can catch teams out. But obviously Geelong are very good in the contest and, you know, we've just got to match them with that this weekend.
We're speaking to electrifying St Kilda midfielder Brad Hill. And just before we let you go, Brad, When you did come across to St Kilda, was that how difficult was that for you? Was there angst in leaving Fremantle? Because I've heard Ross Lyon speak about you, and he talks about you like you're his son or something. So was that when you make such a strong personal connection with a coach like that? Is that hard telling him the news that you were sort of, you know, had other opportunities elsewhere?
Yeah, well, I had a real close relationship with him, but he left as well, so it wasn't as hard because, you know, Ross has done time that I left. So, you know, I have spoken to him and he said, it was a good decision to come over here, and I'm loving it here. And my partner's from Melbourne as well, so it's a bit easier for her too.
Well, congratulations on the year that you're having, Brad, but also congratulations to the St Kilda Football Club. 47,000 members for 2020, which is a record number for the club. It's great to see. If you want to become a member and support the team that you love, saints.com.au to get all the information that you could possibly need. Thank you so much for joining us, Brad, and good luck on Monday up against Geelong.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brad.
Bradley Hill from the St Kilda Football Club there. Goodness, he's a breath of fresh air, isn't he?
It's
great to chat to.
He's a beauty. But there's one part of me that's getting a bit nervous as a St Kilda fan. Yeah. What if St Kilda win a grand final and the fans can't go?
Oh, don't.
Yeah. I don't want to bring that. But, like, it's like it's starting. They're second on the ladder. You're like, I was speaking to some Saints fans. Like, what are they going to do? Imagine that. You can't.
Just have a party at home.
Oh, it wouldn't be the same. But he's a ripper, Brad Hill. And he's still finding his feet. I think what's important to work out with him is the way that St Kilda are playing hasn't quite suited Brad Hill's style. He is a handball receiver, link-up player. Hasn't been able to quite do that because St Kilda's more of a kicking team. But he's certainly playing his role, as you said, and he's been a very handy pickup for that club.
Well, he's doing a good job. Coming up next, the beer bet. It's the thing that we're all waiting for each week. What's the bet between Jay and Joey this week where a six-pack is on the line? You'll find out next right here on Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
I've got to work over the weekend now.
Joey, Jay-Z and Emma.
You're going well when that's your biggest problem, isn't that?
Oh, I know. I've got to watch too much footy. How good is it? Oh, damn.
It's a hard life.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
I've been all over the shop.
The beer bet has become a focal point of our show each week. A six-pack laid on the line between Joey and Jay. Where are we at there? Who owes who?
I was staring down the barrel of owing Jay 18 beers, but I pegged that back last week because he took Adelaide to beat North Melbourne.
Yeah. Stupid in hindsight, wasn't it?
Yeah, thank you. That was almost a gimme to me. I appreciate that one. But we're going to go again, and this one we do like our own teams that we've taken. So I'm going to stick with my boys, the Freo Dockers, to beat Hawthorn.
Yep.
On, when's that, Monday night?
Yep.
I think if Freo play anywhere near like they did against Collingwood, they can beat Hawthorn. They were terrific around the ball. Nat Fyfe back into the side makes a huge difference. Their tall forwards are in form. Tabanar is going beautifully. Their defence is undersized, but that's not going to worry them so much against the Hawthorn team, who probably don't have the dominant key position players. I'm very confident Fremantle will get the job done, and I'd like to have a six-pack on that. Are you happy to take the Hawks?
I'm happy to take that. I'll take the Hawks. I thought their midfield after quarter time against Carlton, they were staring down the hole of a shocking loss, and their season was slipping away, but they turned it on against Carlton at quarter time. Their midfield got going, and as you pointed out, the forwards got some separation. Gunston and Brewster, etc., got on their bike, which gave their ball movement a bit more flow. So I know they they have had a long break into this game, but I think Hawthorn can chalk up another victory. I will say this, and it's not just because you are a part of the Fremantle Inner Sanctum, Joey, as the opposition analyst there. I thought the Fremantle win over Collingwood over there in Perth was the coaching performance of the year from Justin Longmuir. It was a perfectly executed strategy to beat a much more fancy team. I thought was an absolute credit to a first-year coach. We put the coaches under a lot of pressure, don't we? But we equally got to give them a shout-out when because it was just so carefully planned, I did think. But where is Collingwood? So they lose Chalor for another month.
Yeah.
So they've already gone DeGoey down, Pendlebury down.
God, there's some big outs.
Jeremy Howe.
Howe down as well. They aren't able to score as well. Josh Dacos, what an absolute goal. But have you put a line through the Pies? Because they're currently clinging on to eighth spot. They've got Adelaide in a few days' time.
Oh, they're too good to put a line through them, but they're a massive question marks. And we know there's been issues with their forward line and their scoring. But what it is, watching them particularly against Sydney, is their offensive flow has just, I don't know what's happened. They've lost confidence in what they're trying to do moving the ball. It looks like to me, too often they want to be perfect. They want to try and find the mark, an extra couple of handballs. Some of the other teams at the top of the ladder, Port Adelaide, St Kilda, Brisbane, we know Richmond do it. They're happy just to surge, get some territory, get the ball in the front half. Collingwood just have lost a bit of that flow. Trelaw's a huge out because even though I still think Taylor Adams is their most important midfielder, Trelaw's their line breaker. Mm. And the easiest way to score is to have a player break the line, receive a handball, and it helps your forward flow. So he's not going to be there. They're going to need some others to step up. Dacos played his best game for the club. I rate Callum Brown. I think maybe time to play him a bit more as an inside mid. He's terrific in the
Vision.
Contest. He's got good hands. He breaks tackles. So I'd like to see him play a bit more in the midfield. I think they've got to stick with Ben Reid. I don't think bringing Mason Cox back in is the answer. I think Ben Reid and Mychek with their other smalls who have got to get to work, to be honest. Elliot Stevenson and Josh Thomas have got to start playing better football. But, yeah, I'm a bit worried about Collingwood at the moment, but they are good enough late in the year to potentially get back up.
Mason Cox, Alice, if I'm a rival club and I'm looking for a key forward, like Brisbane, for example, maybe, I'd be having a crack at Mason Cox. I reckon he's absolutely gettable.
All right, well, let's take a look at round 11. Kicking off this afternoon, Adelaide Oval, 4:35. The Power up against the Tigers, the two power forwards as well are doing battle. Who do we like?
Yeah, this will be toss of the coin. This will be an absolute beauty. As I said, I really believe Port Adelaide are the real deal now. They showed it last week against the Bulldogs. They weren't playing great. They hung in there. And then their grit and determination, which maybe had been something you questioned about Port, they showed that they're legit. We know what Richmond are going to bring. So this will be an absolute cracking game. Either way, the team that loses, you're not going to certainly write off. They'll be fine. Can't wait for it. I think it'll be a great game.
I wonder whether Richmond is almost being a bit underrated at the moment. What they're doing and their win last weekend was excellent. Considering they get Edwards back, they get Hooley back.
And Prestia.
They get Prestia back. They get these premiership stars back. I wonder, I know what West Coast is the premiership favourite at the moment. I think they're a bit of the false favourite. Yes, there's the strong chance. I think the Tigers should be the favourite. And if they get over Port Adelaide tonight, they will get absolutely crunched. Because when the cavalry returns for the Tigers, they're going to look awesome on paper. And Shai Bolton really improving. What about Liam Baker off the halfback
he's
flank?
A beauty.
Noah Bolter is looking like
Alex Rance.
All of a sudden, isn't he? So they're finding them. They're finding them, the Tigers, and it's been an excellent performance from them over the past month.
Would love to see a shootout between Dixon and Lynch this afternoon as well. And then tonight's game at the Gabba, 7:40, the Lions taking on the Bulldogs.
Yeah, as I said, I don't think Brisbane lost any admirers in their loss to Richmond. I know some people did sort of think it was a pretty ordinary performance. I thought if they kicked straight, they were well and truly in that game. They did everything right except hit the scoreboard, and I think they'll bounce back. Bulldogs have still got some issues for me, Jay-Z, at either end of the ground. We know how good their midfield is, but they're just a little bit of a disconnection at the moment.
Elephant in the room. I mean, we lauded them for the pickup of Josh Bruce. He kicked six goals in a room in a game against North Melbourne. Not having a great season, is he, Josh?
He's really struggling.
And he's a workhorse forward, but a couple of drop marks, you know. I just think that he's a. I wondered whether he was going to be dropped this week, to be honest.
They can't afford to. They need him to just to compete.
Back.
Yeah. Well, they need to play both of them. I think this will help Bruce having Norton back in the side.
Quick update from the AFL. We talked about the Richmond groping earlier. The grope gate, exactly. The AFL has released this statement. It says the actions of players touching several teammates inappropriately during post-game celebrations is not in keeping with either club, community or AFL expectations. It goes on to say that basically it is appropriate. Please don't do it. So there's no surprises, nice little bow on that issue for us, Em.
Though the one that we're waiting for this afternoon is what will happen to Callan Ward. Will there be a fine or will there not? We'll keep our eyes peeled for that one.
We are fighting the fake news.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Phony. Fake.
Try and keep this pretty lighthearted each week. I'm going to straighten up just a touch here, Joey, remember, because the AFL can give me a spell. Their decision not to fine Sydney Swans for the bootgate issue. We saw Sam Wicks sliced open Isaac Quaynor's leg. No fine there, no sanction. Give me a spell. Do we know or do we not know that you're not allowed to wear metal stops?
You know, you should know the rules.
Absolutely. So why are we...
It's a bugbear of mine. It might as well be my give me a spell. The AFL, how reactive have they been to everything this year? I mean, I was even talking off air to Emma before about Alex Neil-Bullen. We didn't touch on that 4 weeks.
Too much?
Well, I think it is. And they've made him a bit of a scapegoat. And I do believe there's a little bit of an element of, because he's not a high-profile big name. Do you think the two tackles that Sean Burgoyne laid were more aggressive than the Alex Neil-Bullen tackle?
What I would say is since the first Burgoyne one, they've changed the playing field.
They have changed it, but have you gone from being no suspension to four-week suspension?
Yeah. And it was a pretty heavy. He had his arm pinned.
He's got to get suspended, but a 2 or 3 week. But I think they've just gone heavy-handed. But they've done it almost retrospectively in hindsight because of some other incidents. I think that the AFL reacting to Alistair Clarkson about the holding the ball has just made the holding the ball rule in football
a mass confusion.
Mate, I can't keep up.
They're not going to fine the players now for the studs, but it'll be the next time someone does it. Like, it just seems like they react afterwards rather than saying, well, no, this is what's happened. You're getting fined and we move on. They're a little bit reactive, the AFL.
Is this a joint give me a spell?
Yeah, it is. It's a joint give me a spell.
I love it.
Yeah.
You've worked well together on that collaboratively. My give me a spell. So you remember, if you just visualise the Sydney Kings logo, right, for the basketball team, behind they've got the Sydney Opera House sales. So reading this morning that the Sydney Opera House Trust want to make the Kings pay $50,000 to use the logo on their logo. And, of course, it's also used with the Roosters, the Swans and the Sixers. Yeah. Now, their deals with the logo don't come up for a couple more years, but $50,000.
Give us a spell.
Give me a spell.
Good Is that one. For real?
This That's bit, for real.
There's been some revolution between that and Brad Hill being allergic to the cold.
The cold.
Fallen off my chair twice.
Absolutely extraordinary. They should be able to use that icon wherever they bloody want. Joey, you've got a great Dead Set Legend of the Week.
Not all heroes wear capes, but all legends use Crescent tools. Trusted by the trades and earned reputation. Available at Bunnings Warehouse. This is the Dead Set Legend of the Week.
But a champion becomes a legend.
It's been one of the great innovations in recent years is broadcasting when players get to speak to their family to let them know they're making their AFL debut. It is one of the most memorable moments for both the player and the families when they do get told that news. And this was one of the best we've heard during the week. Young Trey Rusko from the Collingwood side made his debut the other night. But here he is when he rang his mum earlier in the week.
How you going?
Good, mate, but how about a phone call every now and then?
I gave you one the other day.
What? You did not? I just wanted to know how you went over there.
Yeah, no, it's going pretty well. I just got something to tell you.
What, love? What have you done? What do you want? Something like that.
I'm playing my first game tomorrow.
What?
I'm playing my first game tomorrow, debut.
Oh, off. Are you joking?
Yeah, no, I am.
Oh, my God, Trey, that is unbelievable.
Yeah, I know, it's good.
Oh, are you stirring me up?
No, I'm not. I'm serious. Boys
are... Oh, no. Oh, hello. Oh, shit. Oh, thanks for the heads up. Oh, Trey, that is so good. I can't believe it.
Yeah, I know, it's good.
Did the whole team fall over or something, did they?
How good, Mrs. Rusko. Yeah. She sounds like so many mums around Victoria that would say, what are you ringing
Fancy
for?
Give
what
me
have
a
you,
call.
What, do you what want? Have you done? Yeah. But how good's that? That was awesome. So, Mrs. Rusko, she's our Dead Set Legend of the Week. And apparently she missed out on Trey's first goal the other night because, as she said in an interview, she was out having a durry. She was out having a durry because she was that nervous. She missed her son's first goal of footy.
And he looked all right.
That was the Dead Set Legend of the Week for Crescent Tools. Trusted by the trades and earned reputation. Available at Bunnings Warehouse.
He did enough to hold his spot in the side. They kicked it to him a lot. It was a little bit of where Collingwood's forward line was at. But he did well. One goal, two, and he should play again next week. So, yeah, very good.
Yeah, I've been loving watching them. Quick tip for the day.
Yes, races.
Yeah,
give
why
us
not?
One,
well, look, I haven't been going great, but in the Ori Star, which is one of the features at Flemington today, race 6 over the 1200. Number 1 Sosie Bond has been smashed in betting. So
right.
We like following the money.
What
That's
are we
what
paying?
We do on this show. About $6 now, but ooh, opened at 14. So there has been a big plunge there over the last day or so. So keep an eye on that. Plenty of racing going on around the world. I think we're keeping an eye on something in Singapore as well today, Joey.
Yeah, there's tips everywhere today. Jay-Z's loving it. We've got tips everywhere. Also, race 7 at Flemington. I've been given a tip for Skyman. I've been told that is a group horse and it should win today at $2.80. So maybe if Ems wins, just follow it up with Skyman in race 7, Jay-Z.
You know,
but I want to win a six-pack. That's more important to me.
Oh, yes. Yep. Go Hawks.
Mm-hmm. Good luck with the beer bet. We'll be back next week on 105.1 Triple M.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends is done for another day.
It's fair to say it's been a great decision.
Come on, Jay-Z, you're better than that.
Is he though? Really?
Get even more Joey, Jay-Z and Emma by downloading the Triple M app.